Matthew chapter number 6 tonight. I'm going to tell you, the Lord dealt in my heart about this morning, and I didn't know that I'd be preaching tonight. I had asked Brother Larry. He had a message on his heart. He told me a couple weeks ago, and I had asked Brother Larry to deliver that tonight so that I wouldn't start on Philippians 2 and then do it. I would just want him to go ahead and deliver that tonight. And he had such a bad day yesterday and a bad day today. And he needs our prayers. Brother Arnold Dixon is another one that I forgot to mention that needs our prayers. If you've ever had back or neck injury or something like that, it's terrible. I mean, it can be tormenting. And so please pray for these tonight. All right, Matthew chapter number 6 again. What I want to do is finish what I started Sunday, the Lord willing. I didn't know why the Lord just, I actually was just going to let that go kindly, you know. If you pay attention, you got 1 and 2, but you didn't get 3. And then you didn't get the third part. But anyway, the Lord, he began to impress some things on my heart this morning. And I'll try not to be too long tonight. We've got a business meeting, but share a few thoughts that I believe will be a blessing to you, especially with the theme of the service. It seems like tonight there are burdens, but aren't you glad there are blessings? How many can say the blessings far outweigh the burdens? Amen. Oh, to be a child of God. Amen. And years ago, Kyla Rowland she had a son that was wayward. Kyla wrote a lot of songs, and most of the songs that Sister Kyla wrote were inspired by her mother, something her mother said or something her mother did or something her mother taught her. And Kyla said that she come in one time. They had been out singing, and she came in, and her son, I believe they called him Bubba, but her son just wayward and just out living in the world, and it kind of had her real upset. I'll tell you, there's no love like a mother's love. Amen. Outside the love of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Our Father. But said that she just spilled her guts to her mommy sitting at the kitchen table. Just absolutely poured out her heart. And her mommy's response after about 20 to 30 minutes of that, just pouring out her heart to her mommy, she looked at Kyla and said, "What a wonderful time to be a Christian." In other words, it was so dark everywhere you looked in her life. But that was, and she wrote a song entitled, "What a Wonderful Time to Be a Christian." We are living in dark days, but I say it's a wonderful time to be a child of God, to be a Christian. Amen. And I know that there are families, and including our own, that are going through things, and we don't know how it's going to pan out, but God knows, and we're going to keep trusting Him. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 8, "Be not ye therefore like unto them," and that them would be the heathen that he spoke about in verse 7, the previous verse. "Be not therefore ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, and in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors as we forgive those, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." The one that I used to recite said, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." When I was unsaved, most nights, before I went to sleep, I recited that prayer. Even though I wasn't right with God, there was a fear in the backside of my heart of the God of heaven. Amen. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. And the Bible said here, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Let's pray just a moment. Father, we love you tonight and thank you for this privilege. I pray, God, tonight I could share something that would be an encouragement to the hearts and lives that are represented in this service. Each family, Lord, that's represented in this service. Lord, we had a wonderful, wonderful crowd Sunday morning and a good crowd back Sunday night. And Lord, tonight, not that we would want to make a difference, Lord, but there's people here tonight that are hungry, that want to hear something, Father, from the Word of God that'll help them. We pray, Lord, you'll help us to be that help. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. On Sunday morning, we looked at hindrances to the secret place. When you go through the Sermon on the Mount, I'm not going back all over all of it, but all of those things, the Lord's given us that, He's working up to that closet. He's working up to that time when He would say, enter into your closet. And I think we would agree that that's probably when we start to get lukewarm, okay? You don't jump from hot for God to cold. But when we start to get lukewarm, how many's with me right here? How many say, preach, that's probably the first thing that goes, amen, is that prayer closet, that time alone with God, that secret place with the Lord. And you know, because, you know, actually, you can leave that off and in the eyes of men still be a pretty good Christian, still be a pretty good husband, a pretty good wife, a pretty good mom, a pretty good dad, because I believe that sometimes, and please don't take this the wrong way, but I believe we're living in a generation sometimes where it's a lot easier to fool men than it used to be. How many knows what I just said? I mean, we're living in a generation when a preacher can get up Sunday after Sunday and not have the touch of God on his life and not be walking with God. People can't even hardly tell the difference. I mean, knows what I'm telling you. I'm telling it right. Amen. But we've kind of gotten used to it, and we shouldn't do that. And then Sunday night, we looked at help in the secret place, the help that we gain from the closet and being in there with the Lord. And tonight, what I want to look at is we go down into, many times this is called the Lord's Prayer. I don't like to do that. I like to call it a model prayer. Because if you want to hear our Lord pray, just get over into John 17. I tell you, He's getting down to business with the Father right there as He prays. But here He's giving us a model. He's saying, pray thus. And you know, God just reminded me of something. I've never put this together. If I lead a person to Christ, I always ask that person if they'd like to pray in their own words or if they would like for me to lead them in prayer. And I've been criticized for that. I'll just tell you right up. Amen. I've in certain places, certain times, I've been criticized for that. They say, well, you don't get saved repeating a prayer. That's the truth. You don't get saved repeating a prayer. And I always tell a person if they say, well, preacher, and I'll say this, probably 90 out of 100 people want me to lead them in prayer. I mean, listen, they're believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know how to pray. You understand, lots of time. But I always tell them this. If you don't mean it, you might as well spit in the floor. It's just words. It's empty. It don't mean anything. Amen. But what I'm saying is that my Lord just spoke to my heart in reading this model prayer. That He's just given us a model to pray after. Amen. And the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I've seen people cry out to God. I've seen people saved before they prayed. I've seen people saved while they're praying. I've seen people saved while I was trying to give them assurance after they prayed. Amen. When the light come on and they were able to grasp the truths of God's word. And so tonight Jesus gives us a model. And what I want to look at tonight is hope, the hope that we have in the secret place. I pinned down just four things, and I'll share them with you quickly tonight. Four things from the Word of God. First of all, tonight, there's hope in our Father. Hope in our Father. You say, preacher, what do you mean? He said, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father In other words, they don't have the same father that you have. You remember when Jesus talked about, ye are you of your father, the devil. That's another father. That's a different father. That's the one that used to be my father. That's the one that, he's not my father anymore. Amen. Now the God of heaven is my father. And there's hope in our father. Look at what he says here. He said, your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. How many believes that tonight? I tell you tonight, he knows what we need. He knows when we need it. He knows how much of it we need. Amen. And I thank God tonight that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We have hope in our Father tonight. There's three things here tonight that I see about our Father quickly. Number one, I see his heart. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 8. He knoweth what things you have need of. He knoweth what things you have need of. You say, preacher, I don't understand how you can see his heart in that. Turn over to Psalm chapter 94 with me, please, just a moment. Psalm 94 and verse number 11. This might be a verse that you would want to underscore. I asked the church to pray for the young man that lost his job tonight. And I'll tell you, I can read between the lines in a text that he sent me. He don't understand. He told me, he said, preacher, I went to work yesterday so sick I couldn't hardly hold my head up, but I went on to work. That's how much his job means to him. Amen. Let me say this. Some things are going to come our way that we don't understand. Amen. But our Father understands. Amen. And he knows what we have need of. Look what the Bible said in Psalm chapter 94 and verse number 11, I believe it is. In Psalm chapter 94 and verse number 11, the Bible said, that's not the right verse. I don't know where in the world I put it. Amen. I've got the wrong verse written down. Well, I'll tell you what the verse says. It says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I didn't quote all the verse, but that's the part of the verse that I wanted. I wrote the wrong reference down. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. I believe that tonight. I don't believe our Father's trying to keep what's good from us. A lot of people think Christianity is just about a set of rules and regulations. But I tell you what, tonight, if there's something God don't want us involved in, it's because it's not good for us. Amen? That's good for us, he wants us to have, and he blesses us with that. Look here, this paints this picture as well. Look at Romans chapter 8 tonight, please. The book of Romans in chapter number 8. I believe this will be a blessing to you. I hope it will. It blessed my heart when I thought about it. There's hope in our Father. We see his heart. Look in verse number 32, I believe. The Bible said, he that spared not his own son. Follow this line of thinking with me tonight. If God would give his son, and we know that he did give his son. Watch what the Bible said here. God gave his son. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us. Boy, there's another verse that knocks that Calvinism in the head. He delivered him up for us all. Amen. The word of God said. Watch this now. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I like that tonight. Isn't it foolish to believe on him for salvation and not trust him for whatever else we need in this life? Amen. We see the Father's heart. There's hope in our Father. We see the Father's heart. But secondly, we see the Father's home. The Word of God said here, our Father, which art in heaven. I'm going to tell you something right now. This world is not our Father's home. And this world's not our home either. Amen. The Word of God said, let not your heart be troubled. I don't know about you. Once in a while, my heart gets troubled. Amen. Once in a while, my wife has to sing to me and remind me that we're not home yet. Amen. That, listen, this is just temporary down here. Amen. And our Father has a home. And listen, one day we're going to the Father's house. Amen. And thank God we are. Not only do I see that there's hope in our Father, I see hope in his heart. I see hope in his home. But watch this tonight. There's hope in his holiness. The Word of God said, hallowed be thy name. I'll say this tonight. You can go a lot of places and they're stepping on his name. You can go a lot of places and they're using his name in vain. There may be people here tonight
in our past that have done that, been guilty of that. But I'll tell you tonight, it doesn't matter what we said or what they say or what goes on. He was holy, He is holy, and He will forever be holy. Amen. I believe the secret place, there's hope. We say, preacher, what happens in the secret place? I believe we come become more like our Father. I believe that we should, my friend, be sanctified. Sanctify them through thy truth. We should be clean. Now, you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, the Bible said. And if we're going to, my friend, he said, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. That's not talking about sinless perfection right there. But we're to mature in the things of God. Amen. And the more we're with Him, the more we'll be like Him. And He is holy. There's hope in our Father. I don't know about you tonight, but it encourages me when I spend time with Him. He, Brother Gary, never have I been with Him that I left discouraged. He always encourages me. I tell you what, just a few minutes in His presence. You see, sometimes we don't stay long enough to get in His presence. Nobody knows what I just said. Well, a man said something years ago. I can't remember who said it. I'd give him credit for it. But he said, happy will be the day in your life when your time with God ceases to be a time for you and begins to be a time for Him. Amen. It's not about us. It's about Him. It's about obedience. It's about being more like our Father. There's hope in the secret place. There's hope in our Father. Secondly, tonight, there's hope in our future. Look at verse number 10. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How many believes that the Lord is going to come and He's going to set up a kingdom on this earth? And He's going to rule and He's going to reign with a rod of iron. Something I didn't understand for many, many years of my Christian life is that at the end of that 1,000 years, it really helps you to understand why He's ruling and reigning with a rod of iron. In other words, all is peace, but it's not peace because everybody wants peace. It's peace because He makes it be peace. But at the end of that, Satan is loosed from his prison. He's loosed from that bottomless pit. And he comes up and he gathers armies together from the four quarters of the earth. And he comes against Christ again. And he's defeated one final time. It'd be hard for me to imagine. Brother Brian talking about the creation. How could somebody say there is no God? Brother Brown, I'm going to read scripture in a minute, how the child will play on the hole of the asp, and the lamb and the lion are together, the bear and the cattle, all that. How could anybody live through that time frame? Amen. And that peace that's on earth and the goodwill that's toward, how could anybody live through that and then rebel against the God of heaven? But our future. But you know something? The Lord just reminded me of something. He said, preacher, what about the times when you've rebelled? He saved us, wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, freely gives us everything that we need, and yet there'll be times, amen, we'll get in our stinking self and won't do the will of God that He wants us to do. There's hope in our future. Turn with me to Isaiah tonight, please. Isaiah chapter number 11. Isaiah chapter number 11. The Bible's precious. I'm glad. I didn't even have my Bible open this morning when the Lord began to speak to my heart. I'm glad it's that way. We can meditate in the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 6, the Bible said, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them, and the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones. And the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together. I guess I put the pause in the wrong place. The cow and the bear shall feed, and their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the ass. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Thou, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I don't know about you, but when we get in that secret place, I believe we can find hope. Hope in our Father, hope in our future, realizing that regardless of the present circumstances, the future circumstances are going to be a lot better. Someone said the worst, the very worst that a child of God will ever experience is in this life. But the very best that an unsaved person will ever experience is in this life. I don't know about you, but I'll take the worst temporarily for the best for eternity. Amen. Rather than the other way around. Look at Isaiah chapter 55. I love these verses. At one time I had this chapter committed to memory. The Bible said in verse 12, "For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." I'm not going to go there and preach tonight. You could preach an hour over in Revelation 21 and 22. But thank God there's no sorrow, no death, no tears. The former things are passed away. You get on over in the chapter, and I love these words, "No more curse." Hallelujah. That's the future that we have as the children of God. No more curse. That means no more devil. That means no more flesh. That means no more world. That means hallelujah. And all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. No wonder the songwriter penned down the words, "What a day. What a glorious day." Well, I think the Lord just give me something right there. Hey, listen, I've always thought about that just being the day when He comes, but it's just one endless day. Amen. There's no night there. Amen. It begins and never ends. There's hope in the secret place. There's hope in our Father. There's hope in our future. And then let me give you this. Thirdly, there's hope in His forgiveness. You know, tonight, some of us... myself and there are others here tonight have children. My oldest girl, I know that you still pray for her. Many of you tell me that you do. But I know this tonight. In the secret place, God says, "I can forgive her. She ain't went too far for me to reach her. I know where she's at. I know what she's done." Guess what? The blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient. I tell you, I don't believe that like some of them songwriters wrote, "Just one drop. Hey, you can give one drop and not die." He had to die. He had to give every drop. Amen. That our sins might be forgiven. Amen. And I bless His name tonight. There's hope in His forgiveness when we get in that secret place. Watch what the Bible said here. It said here in Matthew chapter 6. The Bible said, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive those as we forgive our debtors." I don't know exactly where the passage is. I maybe should have made a reference, but for the sake of time, Jesus gives a parable about a man that was forgiven a whole lot. And he was real happy to be forgiven. He was forgiven. And then somebody owed him just a little bit. And he took him by the neck and he choked him. I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter. Listen to me tonight. Listen to me. If we're the children of the living God, and I know that I am, and I believe that you are, it doesn't matter what anybody would do to us. To put it in the light of what He's forgiven us of, we have no right to grab anybody by the neck. We ought to forgive tonight, and there's hope in that forgiveness. Amen. I like what Paul said. He said, he encouraged the church at Corinth. There was a man committing incest with his stepmother. And he encouraged the church of Corinth to deal with it. Deal with the sin. Deal with it. I tell you, that don't go over too good in this generation, does it? Amen. But Paul told them they need to turn such a one over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. He more or less told them, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself to turn your head and let this go on." Yeah. And so they did. And then they come along in chapter, or excuse me, 2 Corinthians, and the man repented. And they were having a hard time with that. And Paul said, listen, you've got to forgive him, lest he be swallowed up with overmuch grief. Amen. I tell you what we ought to do. Every time that somebody repents, we ought to ask God to help us to treat them just exactly like we would want to be treated if we was guilty of the same thing and repented. I'm not talking about an unrepentant spirit. I'm talking about a repentant spirit. Tonight, I believe with all my heart, Paul said, listen, he said, you ought rather to forgive him. Then he said this, and I love this. He said, to whom I forgave anything, in the person of Christ, forgave I it. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. Now, you might get in a closet, but if you get in touch with the God of heaven while you're in that closet, you're not coming out of that closet with an unforgiven spirit. I can tell you that right now. Amen. Because if you've got an unforgiven spirit when you go into that closet and you get in touch with the God of heaven while you're in that closet, you're not coming out with the same spirit that you went into that closet with. Amen. You'll come out with a forgiven spirit. And I believe with all my heart, that's the hope that we need in the secret place. There's hope in His forgiveness. There's hope in His forgiveness. The Bible said, if you forgive the men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive men, not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I don't believe this is on a salvation relationship level that this is speaking about. That would be a work salvation. But it's on a fellowship level that it's speaking about right here. You're carrying a grudge, you're not fellowshipping with Him, period. I'm carrying a grudge, I'm not fellowshipping with Him, period. Say amen right there. I tell you what, you can't carry that grudge and have that unforgiven spirit and fellowship with the God of heaven. You just can't do it. Some of us have tried, haven't we? Amen. Have you ever tried along the way? I tell you what, you end up lukewarm, don't you? And if you stay that way long, you'll end up plumb cold. Amen. Plumb cold. Hope in our Father. Hope in our future. Hope in His forgiveness. But I'm going to give you this tonight. I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, how am I going to do this right here? Y'all know I like to alliterate things. Amen. And so I said, how am I going to do this? There's something else I want to touch on. In verse 13, He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I just want to say this in the secret place. There's hope in our fight. You mean, what do you mean fight, preacher? How many believes that there's a fight? There's a war. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. He said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And the Apostle Paul, when he come down there and got ready to die, he said, I fought a good fight. He said, I finished my course. He said, I've kept the faith. You say, preacher, how do you believe Paul was able to say that? Here's what I believe. I believe he had a secret place. I believe day after day, I believe that's why he said, I die daily. I mean, he might have been living pretty good, but when he got in that secret place, he just had to die to himself and then come alive unto his God and serve his God. The Bible talks about that fight. Fight the good fight of faith. You know, over there in Acts chapter 20, I'm not going to turn there and read it. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Then he said this, that I may finish my course with joy. Amen. I'll tell you something right now. With joy, the secret place. With joy, we can fight a good fight. We can finish our course. And thank God we can keep the faith. The flesh don't have to get the upper hand. The foe, the devil, don't have to get the upper hand. We can. The Bible said, I believe, Brother John, you made mention of this, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We're living in a generation, there's so much fluff and so much that like I said, when do you hear even the secret place mentioned? When do you even hear even prayer anymore much mentioned? When do you hear fasting mentioned? These are things of days gone by. And we want the revival of days gone by without the price of days gone by. I shared with the folk that were here Saturday night about, I believe the man's name was Arnall. And David, he had numbered the people. And David just, God gave him three choices, and David was wise. He said, I'll just let the Lord choose. And so the Lord sent a pestilence. And 3 days. And so David was to build an altar. And David was to pray to the God of heaven. And he wanted that threshing floor that belonged to Arnall. And he went up there, and Arnall was a kind man. He was a gentleman. He said, what's this between us? I'll just give it to you. You take it. And David said this. He said, I can't do that. He said, I will not offer to the Lord of that which costs me nothing. Amen. I believe there's a price to be paid. I believe our Lord, Brother Ralph, is testing us. I believe he's saying, I want to move on that community. But will somebody believe me? Will somebody get a hold of me? Will somebody? I went to the funeral home the other night. Brother John, I know you've been up there. You go up by Charity Chapel, go up Orbank, up on top. And it was dark, and I knew I could, if I could remember the way, could take a shortcut to East Lawn through there. And I got up there, and there's a house out there with windows, got a flat roof, windows sitting up there on that mountain overlooking. And I got in that straight stretch right there in front of that house. Sister Jennifer looked over here. And I tell you, it broke my heart. You know, you're looking right down on where we are, amen. And the thought came to my mind, I've given you the responsibility for that place. To hold the light. Hold the torch. Hold the torch. I say there's hope in the secret place. There's hope in the secret place. There's hope in our Father. Hope in our future. Hope in His forgiveness. Let me ask you something. Is this community worth fighting for? Are we just going to let them have it? Let the devil have it? I don't know how many times I've heard since I've been here, you know, the difference now than what it used to be in Bloomingdale. The drugs have come in and the alcohol's come in and the illicit sex has come in. But I say hallelujah. God has come in, amen, and we just need to get Him out into the community. He can make the difference in the darkest life there is in Bloomingdale. He can make the difference. He can make the difference. There's hope in the secret place.